If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Mike Tagliere. We're at Dan Harris 80 and Mike Tagliere NFL on Twitter. We're here to recap your Sunday day of football tags. How you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. It was uneventful day in terms of like major injuries, which is always a good Sunday. So I look forward to the show.
Maybe. I mean, there are some potential injuries.
Not season-ending injuries.
Okay. That's probably right. But we don't really know. Because one game is still going on at this moment. So we'll figure it out. But whatever it is, hopefully you are either listening to this wherever you listen to podcasts or you are watching us live on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. We live stream this every Sunday, except last Sunday where technical difficulties happened on my end. This week, at least, I was just orange for like 3 minutes before we started recording. I think I look like my normal unattractive self here, but at least I'm a normal color. Anyway, our YouTube channel, go ahead and subscribe to it, youtube.com/fantasypros. We do a waiver wire live stream on Tuesday. We do a start sit live stream on Thursday. We do start sit live streams on Sunday morning from 11 to 12. That's tags from 12 to 1. That is Yates. We do tons of videos. Just go subscribe. If you like the videos, give us a like. Things like that really help us out. Also, follow us on Instagram at Fantasy Pros. I do an Instagram live every Sunday morning doing start sit from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern time. We do rankings, start sit, great graphics, everything like that we do. Also, if you enter our latest giveaway for the Aaron Jones helmet, you can have an entry. If you just follow us on Instagram or subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros, or even if you just follow us on Twitter and then go to fantasypros.com/contest. All right, tags. Let's start with trust or bust. Couple interesting guys here for this week, Okay? Let's start with DeAndre Swift. 14 for 116 on the ground with two touchdowns, plus four targets, three catches, 7 yards through the air. Now, Adrian Peterson also found the end zone here. 15 carries, 40 yards, and a touchdown, plus caught his lone target for 18 yards. So, DeAndre Swift, they came out of the bye. He had a bigger role. Trust or bust, DeAndre Swift?
Semi-trust, but also sell. How many times do you think the Lions are going to have 38 running back touches in a game again? Probably none. If you actually break it down that way, DeAndre Swift got 44.7% of the team's running back touches. And so what I did is I went back and I said, okay, how many running back touches were available, you know, in their first four games? So I went and looked at that, and the average was 26.5 touches per game. So if you take that 44.7% and you apply it to Swift moving forward, that's like 12 touches per game. That's not enough to be like a stud or a must start. This game was somewhat of a blow. blowout. Adrian Peterson did get the first series in the game, so he's not, Swift isn't the starter necessarily. I do believe he's going to have value as like an RB3 flex player, but I think there's somebody in your league that is willing to buy him at RB2 prices right now. I'm not. I'm willing to sell him, actually.
What are you buying him at? What's the price that you're buying him at?
I like him in RB3 flex territory. I think that running back is really difficult once you get outside like the top 22 to 24 guys. So he belongs in the tier after those guys. So that's the RB3 flex territory. Running backs are hard to find, so I don't think you should just give him away. But if you can go and sell him in the RB2 range, I'd be doing that right now.
So you had him 47th. Oh my gosh. This really, you know what? This is an error on me, Tags. And I've been hosting this podcast for like 17 years, and I host like 30 podcasts a week. This should have been What's Your Problem, Man? Because What's Your Problem, Man's kind of weak this week. I'm not making excuses. It was a bad week for What's Your Problem, Man, okay? You're mostly right. I'm mostly wrong. I don't care. But in this one, DeAndre Swift, you had him 47th?
So hold on. This was a backfield I wanted nothing to do with until I saw some sort of life, some sort of improvement, because DeAndre Swift, he goes in a game against the Cardinals. In that game, we thought he'd have a passing down role or something like that. He had like one touch. He played a couple snaps. It was too much up and down where there's no consistency. Those are not guys you want on your fantasy team. So I wanted to see something coming out of the bye week. And this was like a make or break week for DeAndre Swift. I did a massive shuffling through the running backs because I said, you know what? We're now in bye weeks. I have to judge rest of season as if right now I'm looking at the roster and I am saying, which running back do I want on my team right now, this guy or this guy? I'm not doing a long-term outlook. So I actually moved him all the way up to my RB27 on the rest of the season. So again, RB3 flex type territory. I was unwilling to trust him before this week.
It's pretty funny that you lead in with the sell him, and you have moved him up 20 spots.
I did, but that's the thing is, to tell me that there's not going to be fantasy owners out there that are willing to buy him in like RB2 prices. They might give up Ronald Jones to get DeAndre Swift.
Okay, fine. You're 100% agree with you there. Now, I had him 31st coming in. Again, I factor in bye weeks and when you're past bye weeks pretty heavily when I'm looking at my rest of season rankings. But yeah, I agree with that. If you're going to be able to suddenly, somebody's going to be like, wow, this dude is like top 20 or something like that. Yeah, for sure. You're going to sell there. But he is somebody then. I mean, I hear what you're saying. In the end, he is somebody who you're probably going to be starting most weeks as a flex play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Trust or bust Tags. You might be familiar with this guy. We talked about him once or twice. His name is AJ Green. 11 targets led the Bengals. 8 catches led the Bengals. 96 yards receiving. Did not lead the Bengals, but still a nice total. Are you jumping back on the AJ Green train, trust or bust?
No, I'm not jumping back on. So I guess I still have to say bust because I'm not willing to trust him in a starting lineup until we see multiple weeks in succession to say, okay. I know he has looked better in terms of like the routes he's running and everything like that. They went to him on a very pivotal down in this game. And he came through with the catch at her first down. He actually fought for the extra yard. So AJ Green, he's a guy that I didn't really want to drop last week, but I was okay with everyone dropping him. And then you see a performance like this and it's like, okay, now I'm being reminded. I had a conversation with a friend that came over to watch the games today. And I said, going back to AJ Green and the guys I missed on, AJ Green, Kenyon Drake, if you were to tell the like fantasy managers before the season to say, okay, Kenyon Drake's going to walk into the season, he's going to get 73% of the Cardinals' touches, the offense is going to be moving the ball, do you want Kenyon Drake? Absolutely, yes. He'd be a late first round pick. And then you go and you say, AJ Green is going to lead the NFL in air yards through 4 weeks. He's going to have, you know, over 30 targets through the first 3 games or whatever like that. Everybody would have said we're too low on AJ Green. He stayed healthy. And now we see an 11 target game. So the process was right. The play, unfortunately, hasn't been there for either of those guys. But AJ Green is moving in the right direction. And if the Bengals continue to struggle, we could see them move AJ Green to a contender.
So he was 54th in your rest of season rankings. Are you pushing him up now?
I did not move him up very much. I moved him up a couple spots, but I have him currently at wide receiver 51, okay. right there next to T.Y. Hilton, who's at wide receiver 52. So
yeah, I was honestly thinking about this and be like, wow, you probably feel how I would feel if T.Y. Hilton ever has a good game. Like I'd be like, yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm fine. I'll move him up a few spots. Yeah, I had him a little lower than you coming in. I had him 62nd because I really was off. I agree. I will move him up somewhat. But I'm not going to be recommending him as a start anytime soon. But he is somebody who, if I rostered, this is why I have a very difficult time letting go of guys like this, because the potential is there so long as they're not, you know, severely injured. So I like to hold them if I can, just in case, but I am waiting. Last guy on Trust or Bust here, Tags, Keelan Cole. DJ Chark does play in this game, which has kind of put a damper on what Cole's outlook should have been, but 9 targets, 6 catches, 143 yards. He hasn't seen fewer than five targets in any game this year. He's got three touchdowns already. Trust or bust, Keelan Cole?
Trust him during bye weeks. I don't trust him on a normal basis. I think that, you know, I mentioned him in the primer this week. I think I talked about it, or I talked about the podcast. I can't remember, but I compared him to like a Cole Beasley type player, a guy that's given you a solid floor week in, week out. He's nothing sexy. And he was this week. Fortunately, he gave you an actual ceiling, but he did have what was probably the best matchup on the field in the slot against the Lions. So I actually had Keelan Cole ranked higher than most analysts this week. So I'm not necessarily surprised by the performance. But I think he's someone to get you through bye weeks because he's going to get you four or five catches in a week. He's going to get you at least 40-50 yards, but just keep your expectations in check. This is probably going to be the biggest game in terms of yardage he'll have all year.
All right, let's go to what's your problem, man, and pretend I mentioned DeAndre Swift in this section.
Didn't happen.
I don't know what your problem is with DeAndre Swift. Only one guy this week for what's your problem, man, because you didn't have a bad ranking rest of season, or at least we didn't differ on the right people. Next week, better for me. Justin Jefferson, 11 targets, 9 catches, 166 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You had him 37th coming into the week. Now, I'll make it clear. I don't think that that is an egregious ranking by any means. I did have him 32nd coming in. But outside of the wide receiver 3 range, do you have a problem with Justin Jefferson? Are you moving him up or what?
No, I mean, I have him at wide receiver 35 now, so I'm not going to move him up too much on this game. A lot of it was in garbage time. I'm disappointed in that entire offense, to be clear. Kirk Cousins looked like garbage the first half. There was a lot of garbage time production, including all of Justin Jefferson's production. So, you know, do we continue to see that being a trend in this offense? Are they going to have a lot of garbage time? I don't necessarily think that that's the case. I think they want to run the ball. They just weren't able to do it today, and it made sense. There was a reason I liked Kirk Cousins as a streamer this week. There's a reason I had Justin Jefferson as a top 24 receiver. All those things are coming to play, but they're not playing the Falcons every week. So, I mean, like, we saw a hiccup in between this game and his other big game against the Seahawks. That was a good matchup, by the way, and he kind of flopped. So the question is, I think he's in the territory of someone like Chase Claypool right now, where these are guys that they're going to have some ups and downs in their performances because they're not the clear-cut number one option on their team. But sometimes you just want to ride those upside waves and you want to just hope that you get that upside as your wide receiver 3. And that's why they're teetering on that wide receiver 3, you know, borderline.
Chase Claypool could have been an honorary member of What's Your Problem, Man, but we will get to him when we get to the Steelers game. But first, we're going to start with the Titans, 42, Texans, 36. You and I were joking about how, from a betting perspective, you and I were on different sides of that. Yeah. And now I hate you. Derrick Henry, preposterous. That's the best adjective I can think of to describe him. 22 for 212 and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Adds in 5 targets, 2 catches, 52 yards through the air. Is he your number one running back going forward, Tags?
No, he's my number 3. I have him number 3 right now. I feel good about that. It's kind of like going into the season. You knew there were going to be weeks like this with Derrick Henry and you didn't want to miss him. Dustin, a guy in the chat that I'm in, it's one of the leagues I'm in, he mentioned, he said if Mortal Kombat were to create a football player, it would be Derrick Henry. And I thought that that was a great comparison because you just watch him out there and he's a freak, right? Like, the guy can break tackles. Like, you don't try and tackle it. Like, you can't arm tackle him. You can't keep up with him. When he broke that 94-yard run today, that was just something special because once usually you see a power back get through that first line of defense because they got to wrestle through those arm tackles, they're a little bit worn down and you see them trucking down the field. But Henry just kept getting faster and he's outrunning DBs. It's insane what this guy's doing. He's a physical specimen. And with Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball the way that he is, I mean, I don't see Henry slowing down anytime soon.
No. I mean, I think I will likely also keep him at 3, but I do the trade chart and usually Kamara and Ezekiel Elliott are like a mini tier ahead of Henry. I don't know if there's going to really be a tier anymore. I think he's going to jump up in that tier because he's just ridiculous. Meanwhile, pour one out for Yates. Jonnu Smith leaves with a foot injury. I don't know how serious it is. I have not heard anything on it. But in his stead, Anthony Firkser, 9 targets, 8 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. If Smith is forced to miss time, is Firkser a starting option for you?
Yes, absolutely. Like, have you looked at tight end? How bad things are right now? Like, tight end is a disaster. Like, you look through it and you're like, if someone finishes with like 60 yards and no touchdown this week, let's say it's 5 catches for 60 yards, they're going to be a top 10 tight end this week.
Yeah.
It was a backup tight end week, actually. I think there were like 4 or 5 different tight ends that I'm remembering off the top of my head that scored touchdowns today.
I was thinking about like Austin Hooper and I was like, 5 for 55 or whatever his final line. And I was like, all right, that's probably top 12. I mean, that's fine. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you. If Smith is out, Firkser will be ranked as a starter each week. Meanwhile, A.J. Brown, he's back to full health here. Tag 7 targets, 5 catches, 56 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Where does he rank in your rest of season rankings at wide receiver?
He's a stud. I have him at wide receiver 18. He's someone that I want to move up higher. It's just I have difficulty putting ahead of guys like Mike Evans is close to that range. Like, I might continue to move A.J. Brown up over Mike Evans. Keenan Allen's been really, really good with Justin Herbert. Adam Thielen, the clear-cut number one, his offense, he's produced so far. I should move Robert Woods down, I think. I think I might actually move Robert Woods down below A.J. Brown, but that's basically the territory he's in.
You and I are very close when it comes to ranking our top 24 wide receivers. We both had Brown at 22 coming into the week, and I agree with you that it's very difficult to sort of find how high you can move him up just because of that big group. But I agree there are some guys, and yeah, he's not a wide receiver one right now, although, again, I had him ranked. You and I had, you know, the email argument in the preseason about where I had him ranked, and I had him 10th. I think I ended on him 12th around there. But he's creeping back up to there. He is just a complete stud. And meanwhile, I lost Dak Prescott in a league last week. Ryan Tannehill was on waivers. I'm not sure at this point how much I've actually downgraded for the season. 364 and 4 touchdowns. 3 out of 5 games now he's accounted for 4 touchdowns. Rest of season, QB1.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I was going to say that Ryan Tannehill is my QB9 right now, rest of season. And it was a stat I posted in the primer this week. Tannehill, including this game now, he has played 15 games as the Titans starter. That's basically a full season, okay? A full fantasy season. Ryan Tannehill has finished with at least 17.9 fantasy points in 13 of 15 games. That's a stable floor that you find with mobile quarterbacks, and he's done it with limited volume. Knowing that Derrick Henry's doing what he's doing, teams can't just say, hey, we have to slow down Ryan Tannehill. That's like the last of their concerns right now.
No, I 100% agree. We were basically right at you at him 12, item 11 coming into the week. We're both moving him up. Yeah, there is no reason to doubt. Doesn't matter about, you know, the crazy efficiency. This is just working. It's awesome. Buy into it. On the Texans, we knew things would get a little better for the Texans offense once they got past the horrendous stretch that they had to open the season. Deshaun Watson throws for 335 yards and 4 touchdowns, one each for Will Fuller, who finishes with 123 yards, Darren Fells with 85 yards with Jordan Akins out, Brandon Cooks with 68 yards, catches all 9 of his targets, and Randall Cobb for 17 yards. Meanwhile, David Johnson finds the end zone, but just 19 for 57 on the ground. He's barely involved in the passing game. What are your takeaways here, Tags, if any? What's the big one?
Honestly, I don't really have any massive takeaways outside of the fact that Brandon Cooks is a clear-cut wide receiver 3 moving forward, that you can trust him. Now that Bill O'Brien's gone, we've seen 2 back-to-back good games. Is this the Houston Texans trying to boost Brandon Cooks' trade value? Will Fuller, we're hearing rumors that Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks might be part of the fire sale to get back some draft picks from Bill O'Brien, being the coach and GM, which is something that an NFL franchise should never do, but they did. Do you, at this point, would you be looking to sell high maybe on Will Fuller and or Brandon Cooks?
I wouldn't go crazy with it because we don't know what's going to happen just because there are rumors, and we don't really know what would happen with their value. You assume that at least Will Fuller would lose value, of course, if he went somewhere else. Brandon Cooks can succeed wherever you place
obviously
him, as he has shown throughout his season. But I mean, I guess if I can get somebody a little higher, sure. I would sell high on anybody though, Tags. Like that's the one thing, right? I'm not looking to sell them. But if I could, I would sell high on anybody because that's sort of the name of the game. Sell them for higher than their actual
value. But
would
you actively shop them?
Sure. I wouldn't be running out to do it. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I got to get these guys off my roster and try to get a really good deal. But yeah, you might as well if there are rumors like that, because their value would take something of a hit. But we really have no idea. You don't often see, sometimes, you don't often see these blockbuster deals. You obviously saw Amari Cooper traded when he was traded to Dallas midseason. But, I don't think I'd be running out to try to do it, but it's a fair point that I guess I'd kind of keep my ears open a little bit and see what happens. All right, before we keep going, let's talk about Pristine Auction. You hear us talk about our giveaways with our signed helmets and our jerseys. All of that comes from Pristine Auction because that's the only place that you should be going for sports memorabilia. They auction off only authentic items from the most trusted sources. It is free to register. It is free to bid. And while signed jerseys and signed helmets are plentiful, you can get anything there. My kids love the song We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. They insist on me teaching them about everything he lists, and at one point he says Mickey Mantle. So despite being a Red Sox fan, my son wanted to learn everything about Mickey Mantle, and so I had to teach him about how he probably would have been the greatest ball player of all time had he not been injured and taken care of himself a little better. And now he's obsessed with Mickey Mantle. So when I got bored one day, I checked Pristine Auction. Boom, Mickey Mantle bobblehead and baseball card together. I put in a bid. I got it for a ridiculously low price, and now I am the best dad ever. Seriously, pristineauction.com. Easy, free to bid, free to browse. A ton of signed jerseys and signed helmets and really anything you want to get. Check it out. PristineAuction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYBROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll also know that you heard about them from us. Again, that's PristineAuction.com. Use our code FANTASYBROS. Let's go to the Broncos 18, Patriots 12. Drew Lock tried desperately to lose this game, was unable to with his two late interceptions. Two bright spots here for the Broncos, though. Philip Lindsay in relief of Melvin Gordon, 23 for 101 on the ground. Gordon may be facing this suspension here, tags, for the DUI. How high would Lindsay rank rest of season, or basically weekly, if Gordon were suspended?
He would move into that low-end RB2 territory. It would be with, I would say, slightly above guys like David Montgomery, because Montgomery has shown to give you no ceiling, basically. The Bears just don't run the ball. They can't run the ball. That's basically what it comes down to. So I would put him in that category as a guy that I would almost like slide him in right where I had Melvin Gordon, to be honest. I don't think it's a major downgrade. The lack of passing down usage is definitely a problem, because he didn't have, I don't even think he had a target in this game, but knowing he's getting 23 carries to Royce Freeman's 8 carries, that obviously shows he's in a workhorse role. He's going to be locked into 15 to 18 touches per game. So I do think that Philip Lindsay would be a solid RB2 while Melvin Gordon was out.
The number 22 sticks in my head as to where I would have him going forward if that were to happen. I think I don't want to speculate, I guess. We don't know. He missed this game with an illness, a non-COVID related illness. So
yeah, that's we'll see what we hear.
Whatever. I take everything at face value, tags. We'll see about that. But I agree with you that he would be a low-end RB2 going forward. Meanwhile, Tim Patrick, tags. I mean, we talked about him on the waiver wire show a couple of weeks ago. 8 targets, 4 catches, 101 yards, difficult matchup. I mean, how do you view him going forward?
He's someone I need to reevaluate. I'm going to be honest. I did not watch a whole lot of this game. Every time I turned it on, I was just disgusted. Drew Lock didn't look good. Cam Newton didn't look good. And it was just like, it was one of those games where I didn't really care to watch too much of. There were a lot of afternoon games on, like around that. NFL did a poor job of shifting these games around. They really did. There were just too many games going on, so I didn't watch this one too much. But Tim Patrick, I'm going to go back and watch and see if Stephon Gilmore was in coverage on him a lot of the time, if he was beating Gilmore, what was happening. Because clearly, you know, they're designing plays around Tim Patrick if he's getting 8 targets against the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, you just have been basically off him completely the entire thing. I mean, I'm looking at a rest of season rankings. You really didn't, he was like an afterthought. I had him 52nd coming in, and I've been a little more excited about him when we talk about him on the waiver wire show, because I do think the targets have to go somewhere. There are unfortunately not enough of them going to Jerry Jeudy. So I do think that Patrick is a guy who more often than not is going to be a guy who's probably going to be a top 50 wide receiver most weeks, and that's going to put him in flex consideration for you. So yes, that's your job, is to go take a closer look at Tim Patrick and force yourself to watch the game tape of this abysmal game. Cam Newton, meanwhile, puts up some fantasy production, mostly just because of his legs, 10 rushes for 76 yards and the touchdown, but just 157 yards passing, 2 interceptions. Meanwhile, Damien Harris tags 6 for 17 on the ground, 1 catch for 14. Julian Edelman just 2 catches for 8. James White has 8 catches for 65 yards. I mean, other than Cam Newton, tags, is there anyone that you feel you can start on the Patriots weekly?
James White, that's about it. Julian Edelman keeps moving down, and I don't want to move him too far down, but at the same time, it's like, how do you not? I mean, because he's a proven veteran. I always have a tougher time with guys that are proven veterans to just completely just move off of them. But we have to get to a point with Edelman where he's now up there and is getting towards mid-30s, where it might just be a Larry Fitzgerald-type thing, where even if you do play him, it's like, what are you passing on if you bench him, right? Or if you don't have him on your team? You're looking at an upside of, what, 5 catches for 60 yards? Is that really something that you're chasing? So I've been moving him down. Where do you have him in your rest of season rankings right now?
So I do not update them on Sunday like you do, but coming into this week, I was already off, tags. I had him 40th. I mean, it's as much about him. You had him 33rd, by the way, coming in. It's as much about him, and he is getting older, and he has taken a beating his entire career. But it's also just about this isn't Tom Brady throwing him the ball anymore. They're not running the same offense anymore. So it's partially about Edelman, but it's also about the offense. Like, I don't think this is a guy who you can start most weeks as a wide receiver 3 anymore. So I'm not ranking him that way. Let's go to the Falcons 40, Vikings 23. Huge effort from the Falcons passing game. Matt Ryan, 371 yards and 4 touchdown passes. 2 to Julio Jones, who sees 10 targets, hauls in 8 of them for 137 yards. Calvin Ridley goes for 61 yards and a touchdown. I know he was injured at some point. I believe he came back. And Hayden Hurst finally gets in 4 for 4, 57 yards and a touchdown. You know you're starting Jones and Ridley. Are you comfortable starting Matt Ryan and Hayden Hurst now?
I mean, yeah, I talked about this a lot on the live stream because there were a lot of people that were scared to start Julio coming off the injury. I wasn't one of them. Yates yelled at me this morning because I was
one of them. I absolutely was. I think I had him ranked 16th or something. I was nervous coming off the injury.
Yeah, no, but Yates yelled at me about it. He like legit yelled at me and told me I was dumb for having him as high as I did. No, well, but I'm just kidding. But Hayden Hurst has actually played better in the games that Julio Jones has been on the field. And I think there's actually just like a butterfly effect, right? If Julio's out, Matt Ryan struggles, and that means everybody struggles, including Russell Gage, including Hayden Hurst. So Calvin Ridley is the only one who didn't struggle during Julio Jones being gone. Calvin Ridley got nicked up in this game, right? Like he left with an injury. But Julio, obviously, he was never going to come back if he wasn't healthy to play for an 0-5 team that's going nowhere. So, yeah, Matt Ryan is actually my QB8 on the rest of the season. As long as Julio is healthy, I'm going to play him.
Yeah, I was going into my rest of season rankings, I was expecting Julio to be out for another week at least. So now that he's back, I agree. Ryan goes back into starting territory. How about Todd Gurley here, Tags? He was kind of on the upward swing. 20 carries, just 47 yards. He does see 4 targets, 3 catches, and 20 yards through the air. Brian Hill gets in there with 12 touches, 34 yards. He does lose a fumble in this game. Detroit and Carolina up next. It's just a bad game for Gurley, and you move on. He's just his usual mid-tier or low-end RB2.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's the risk you take when you start Todd Gurley, and it's fine. It's a better version of David Montgomery. These guys are not going to pile up 200 total yards. They're not the guys that are going to break out and win you your week. You're just hoping they fall into the end zone. And fortunately, Todd Gurley plays for an offense that scores a lot of points when Julio Jones is in the lineup. This was just like the way the cookie crumbled this week. Next week, it could be Todd Gurley scoring 2 touchdowns while Matt Ryan just throws one of them. So that's definitely possible.
It's interesting that Todd Gurley and Dave Montgomery are always the most traded players. Each week, they're in the top 10 of most traded players, because I do think at this point, even guys with the low upside, like they have for the most part, but they offer the high weekly floor of touches, like those are valuable for fantasy managers. I started Frank Gore in a league this week because of bye weeks and everything like that. There are, there are guys who are valuable, but you do need to keep your expectations in check. For the Vikings, we talked about Jefferson. I know they were behind Tags right from the get-go, but I mean, I don't know where you had Alexander Mattison ranked at 3rd or 4th for me this week. 10 for 26 on the ground, 1 catch, 4 yards through the air. I'm not sure there's much to actually say here from a fantasy takeaway because they have a bye week next week, and then Dalvin Cook
will probably be back. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably be back. So I don't know. If you roster Mattison, you just hold him and probably start him the next time if you can and just write this off to a bad game.
You kind of have to. I'm so mad about this too, because I had him ranked as the number 9 running back, and the more I kept going at it, the more people like in a DFS territory were saying Madison's good play, and I'm like, all right, it's gonna be a high scoring game. If he's the clear cut, workhorse back, 15 touches in a game, with the total is going to, I have this game, the over in this one, I think it was 54 points. So I obviously liked the game. I liked attacking it. And it was like, all right, I'll move Madison up. I think I moved him up to like 5 or 6. I'm still mad about it. It was a very disappointing game. The Vikings offensive line just looks like crap. That's basically what it comes down to. But the Falcons were always a funnel defense where they've actually looked better against the run. They have a healthy interior off their defensive line. They were missing Tack McKinley, so their pass rush shouldn't have been nearly as good. Kirk Cousins always under pressure. Every single game, it seems like everybody just feasts on Kirk Cousins, and he didn't look good today by any means, but the offensive line is just playing bad all around, so it's affecting everybody. And that's why I just don't know how much I could trust Jefferson on a weekly basis. Again, I know he had a massive game here, and I know people want to just naturally just go and bump him up in the rankings, but Thielen only had 5 targets in this game. They threw the ball 36 times. That's not the Vikings way. So, he's going to be the number 2 option. I think that the only thing that I can guarantee for Justin Jefferson every week is probably like 5 or 6 targets. So that belongs in like borderline wide receiver 3 territory.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, I mean, he does wind up throwing for 343 yards and 3 touchdowns after 3 interceptions, all of which in the first half,
Dan,
I think.
Dan, I want to go and give Kirk Cousins a hug. I cannot tell you the hate messages I was getting at halftime about Kirk Cousins and how I will never listen to your advice to stream him again. And I was like, I was feeling really bad about it. But I was like, and then I had a few people say, hey, I respect the process. I really do. It's just don't trust Cousins. And then Thank you, guys. You guys all came back, and I got apology tweets saying, I'm sorry. It worked out.
Funny. I thought you wanted to give Cousins a hug because you felt bad for him because he was getting harassed all game, like, from the defensive line. You just meant you wanted to give him a hug for saving you.
Yes, for saving him. Look like an idiot. Yes.
It's all about you, Tags. That's what we know.
Obviously.
Okay, so as you mentioned Thielen here, but Irv Smith was a guy that Yates was kind of high on. He does, you know, get four catches for 55 yards. Again, what we talked about, essentially a borderline tight end one on the week. He did play a lot of snaps here again, Tags, for the second consecutive week, over three quarters of the snaps. Is he somebody who you think you could start weekly, or is he just a streamer?
He's moving in that direction. I'm going to take a look at the routes run, because if you go back and look at his performance in week five, his routes, like, massive, like almost doubled. And then if it's the same this week, all of a sudden we have back-to-back games with five targets. That's something that we look for in streamers. It's not to say he's an every week guy, because Kyle Rudolph is still going to be involved. They're still paying that guy a lot of money. But to know that last week was the first week that we saw a Vikings tight end see more than four targets since week 13 of last year. So it was like, hey, this is a blip on the radar. We can't trust it. We'll watch it and we'll monitor it. So now that we have back-to-back games with five targets, he's certainly on the radar. But again, Kyle Rudolph isn't going away. This is a run-first offense. This game, negative game script. And again, 36 pass attempts. We don't see that very much out of the Vikings. So I'm not excited about the five targets for Irv Smith, but I am excited about the increase in snaps that he's playing.
Yeah, he's not going to rank as a top 12 tight end, like, for rest of season or anything like that. But he is somebody, again, who you're struggling, and you probably are, because tight ends suck, then he should be on your radar. Let's go to Giants 20, Washington football team 19. See, that's what you're supposed to do, Tags, at the end of a game. You just go for two so you can end it, so you don't have to worry about not covering the spread like in the Tennessee game. Ugly game. Daniel Jones throws for just 112 yards here. He does throw a touchdown pass, which goes to Darius Slayton, and he runs for 74 yards. But Devonta Freeman, 18 for 61 on the ground. Slayton, he does catch a touchdown pass, just two catches for 41 yards. That's the leading receiver. Evan Ingram, 2 for 30. They've got Philadelphia on Thursday. Then they've got the Bucs, then Washington again, then the Eagles again. Some tough run defenses. How do you feel about Devonta Freeman going forward?
He should be more involved in the passing game. He only had two targets here, but they only threw the ball 19 times, so it's not like there could have been a massive amount. Sterling Shepard is going to be back, I would think, soon. He's able to be activated now. I just don't know how long they're going to keep him out with that toe injury. If he comes back, I think everybody's floor just comes down to earth, because Sterling Shepard is a guy with Daniel Jones. He's constantly seeing 6-7 targets per game, constantly. So if you can use this as an opportunity to sell Darius Slayton, I would do that. Devonta Freeman, he's going to remain in, like, that high-end RB3 territory. Not a guy that's guaranteed, you know, the 15 to 18 touches like we were talking about with Philip Lindsay, but he might be guaranteed 12 to 16 touches, which is still, it's a tier below, but it's, again, at the running back position. Dan, I'm sure you felt the same way I did. When you get done with your rankings, because I put player in by player in as I go through the games, I put him in my rankings, and then I might be talking about a player that, oh, I'm expecting RB4 type numbers. And then you look at your rankings and you're like, why is he 26th? Why is he at 26th? It's because running back is a mess right now.
Yeah. When I do the live streams, because it's the first year I've done it, like the Instagram live in the mornings, and I'm start sit and people are like, oh, do you like this guy? And I'm like, no, I don't like him. I'm not feeling it right now. And he's 20th in my running. Like, that's what it is. I completely agree with you. And I have the same exact outlook on Freeman. I mean, he's not a guy who you're going to be like, great, yay, but he's going to rank basically as a borderline RB2 most weeks. For Washington, Kyle Allen throws two touchdown passes, one to Cam Sims and one to the greatest player ever, Logan Thomas. Four targets, three catches, 42 yards and touchdown. Let's wait till tomorrow on the waiver wire show to talk about Logan Thomas. Yeah. Terry McLaurin, 12 targets, seven catches, 74 yards. But let's talk the running game here, Tags. J.D. McKissic, 14 touches, 84 yards. Antonio Gibson, 13 touches, 55 yards. We discussed McKissic a little bit last week on the waiver wire show. What are we supposed to do with this backfield?
Avoid it.
Do you? Is that what it is? I mean, do you not want to start Gibson now?
I want to hold Gibson, but it's all the reasons that I didn't want to draft Gibson to begin with. I did think he was a sleeper in the late rounds, and then all of a sudden when people started talking about drafting him in the sixth round, it was kind of like, I don't see it. He plays in a bad offense. This is still a very bad offense. He plays behind a very bad offensive line, and the quarterback situation is brutal. They're not scoring very many points. So what is the true upside? You know what I mean? And then we find out he's almost like at a 50-50 time split with J.D. McKissic. They actually gave Peyton Barber some carries in this game, which is just driving me freaking bananas. But again, when you have a player that gets nine carries when the game was a neutral game script throughout, It's just not exciting. And again, if he's not getting scoring opportunities, you basically need yards. You need touches. So he's, I mean, I would say he's slightly ahead of Devonta Freeman, but that's the territory that he's in.
Yep, that's right. I mean, it's another guy who you're going to be like, oh, what do you feel about Antonio Gibson this week? Be like, oh, I don't want to start him.
Why do you have him ranked at RB19?
No, right. It's exactly, it's what it's going to be, just because when you get to that area, it's just not something where you really want to go. And but that is where he's going to be. I mean, he was my 20th running back rest of season coming in. He was your 21st. He's going to be more like 24th, 25th. But again, you get to that area, it's just not that exciting no matter what you're doing.
Hey, Dan, real quick, could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Where do you have Clyde? I'm sure a lot of people listening right now or watching are asking this question because we haven't had a podcast to discuss it yet. Where do you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire ranked and Le'Veon Bell ranked rest of season?
Thank you for not listening to the Friday podcast, Dan and Kyle in the morning, where we did discuss it. But I have Edwards-Helaire ranked 15th rest of season. I do, and you have him 14th. Yep. Like, right? Yeah. What about Bell? Where do you have Bell ranked?
23.
Okay, so you have Bell higher than I do. I have Bell 30th, I think. I think he's going to factor in, but I don't necessarily think that he's going. I mean, this is going to be something where I'm going to move it significantly based on how I see it unfolding. And again, last week, that was my value, factoring in the fact that he wasn't going to play this week. That's another mixed week going down. So he'll probably move up a little bit. But yeah, we view Edwards-Helaire the same way, as outside the RB1 range after this week, of course, because no Le'Veon Bell. All right, guys, before we keep going, the future of fantasy sports has arrived with SuperDraft's exclusive game mode multiplier. It is really, really cool. I've tried it out. You know how you think of DFS, you think of like a salary cap, right? SuperDraft has that, but their new multiplier game mode is awesome. You create a lineup by selecting players within a draft group, and each group is assigned a multiplier based on their value. So let's say Ezekiel Elliott scores 20 fantasy points. If he has a 1.5 multiplier, you get 30 points. If he has a 2 multiplier, you get 40 points. So you can draft any player you want and build your own dream team using whatever strategy you think will maximize your points. SuperDraft offers contests for all the major sports. You can enjoy the best of DFS all year round. Sign up for SuperDraft today using promo code FANTASYPROS. Claim your 50% first-time deposit bonus where you can earn up to $500. You can either download it in the App Store or play at superdraft.io with promo code FANTASYPROS. SuperDraft, no limits, more winning. Colts 31, Bengals 27. Jonathan Taylor, 12 for 60 on the ground, plus catches all four of his targets for 55 yards through the air. Value up, down, or the same on Jonathan Taylor tags?
The same. I mean, I might even say down. I have him as the 11th running back right now, and I was tempted to move him down to like 13, right around that Clyde Edwards-Helaire territory, because he's just not, there's nothing. I mean, he's like a slightly better version of David Montgomery right now in terms of what he's offering, because he's not breaking through with a whole bunch of yardage. He does play behind a better offensive line. He does play for a team that would like to run the ball. The defense is fine. He's a letdown for me fantasy-wise, even if he is technically a top 12 running back.
Yeah, and again, he was getting it done mostly in the passing game in the beginning of the game. He busted off a couple of larger runs, I think 21 yards, maybe 15 yards, to really save his, you know, yards per carry. But he didn't, you know, wasn't that good looking. And it should be so much more. It's such a good offensive line. Phillip Rivers is not very good. They should just be pounding the rock, and he should be doing more. But I agree. He was my 11th running back coming into this week. Maybe he goes to 12, but you've got like the Miles Sanders injury.
Yes, who knows? That's exactly, you know, where I was at. Yep.
So it's just basically like he'll probably stay the same. So for me, value the same. And the value is disappointing, because when the Marlon Mack injury first happened, I was like, you're going to be a top 7 guy guaranteed going forward. And it just doesn't feel that way. Your leading receiver in this game is, of course, Marcus Johnson, who totals 108 yards receiving, 3 touchdown passes here, though. Tags 1 to Jack Doyle, 1 to Zach Pascal, and 1 to Trey Burton. 5 targets, 4 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown. Tags Burton has 16 targets now through 3 games. The receivers are nothing to write home about on this team. Is Trey Burton somebody who could move into tight end 1 territory at this point?
Sadly. I mean, if you find a team that's going to score some points against Indianapolis, yes. Yes, I do believe that, because if they have a game where they're, you know, I think they were 8-point favorites in this one. They had no business being 8-point favorites. I had the Bengals here. But if you find a team that, like, they're against Jacksonville, right? And you're like, okay, you know, they're going to crush them. That's a week you probably avoid the passing game because you know the targets are going to be low. They're going to try and hide Phillip Rivers. But if you come against a team that's going to put points on the board against the Colts, you definitely want to look at Trey Burton as a potential streamer because, you know, I've been talking about it. He's running more routes than both Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox combined. Mo Alie-Cox was out for this game. They're short on wide receivers. You know, after losing Paris Campbell and Michael Pittman, it's just the options are limited. And Trey Burton, it just seems that they like him. He also had a rushing touchdown in this game. So, I mean, yes, ever since he joined the team, he's been getting targets, at least five targets, I think, in every game now. So he is the tight end to own there. And we've always looked to play the Colts tight end. So why not?
And of course, one of the tight end, the wide receivers that they kind of still have, but who doesn't seem to really want to produce is T.Y. Hilton.
He had a touchdown that was overturned.
That's true. I know, because I mentioned it in our Slack channel as I was taking my victory lap. This is a good lesson, everybody. Don't take victory laps until you check and make sure that there's not a flag. Also, don't take victory laps when someone that you like scores a random touchdown in week six of the NFL season. Can you drop T.Y. Hilton tags?
I told you he's one spot behind AJ Green, and I said last week that you could drop AJ Green, depending on who you're dropping him for. Like, I would have dropped him for Claypool and guys like that, but, you know, we'll talk about it on the waiver wire show, I'm sure, tomorrow. Like, would you drop T.Y. Hilton for player X? And, you know, we'll go through that segment, but yeah, I mean, he's outside my top 50 wide receivers.
Yeah, the answer is almost always going to be yes for me in that scenario at this point. I have him in a league, and I have not dropped him. I don't even know if I'll drop him at this point just because you're right. He's still like 50, you know, around that area. Those guys can still be rostered, but yeah, not a great day. For the Bengals, Joe Mixon does leave with a foot injury. I believe he came back here, 18 for 54 and a touchdown, plus two catches for 25 yards. Gio Bernard does get a goal line carry here and the touchdown. I'm not sure if that's when Mixon was out or if it was just the rotation. And again, we talked about AJ Green already, but your leading receiver in terms of yardage is T. Higgins. Eight targets, six catches, 125 yards. Tyler Boyd, five catches for 54 yards. Are you moving Higgins up after this game?
I did move him up a little bit. He's in wide receiver three territory. I do like him. He's ahead of AJ Green, clearly, for me. But I think Tyler Boyd is the guy that I would go out and buy low on right now. I was looking at their schedule coming up, and the matchups that he has are just fantastic. I looked at their fantasy playoff schedule. Tyler Boyd is going to bounce back strong. He had eight targets in this game. Last week, he was against Baltimore and Marlon Humphrey. That was a tough matchup for him. But the next time they play the Ravens is week 17, so you don't even care as a fantasy football manager. So I'm using this game to buy Tyler Boyd, maybe sell AJ Green. You're probably not going to get much, so you probably just want to keep him on your bench. But Tyler Boyd is someone I would go out and buy right now.
Ravens 30, Eagles 28. Mark Ingram hurts his ankle here. He ends up with just five carries for 20 yards in his absence. J.K. Dobbins, 9 for 28 on the ground, plus two catches for 1 yard. Gus Edwards, 14 carries, just 26 yards. He does find the end zone. Now, the Ravens have a bye next week, then a pretty tough schedule for run defenses with Pittsburgh, the Colts, the Pats. If Ingram is out, though, is one or more of Dobbins and Edwards startable?
No. I mean, yes, because we're going to be in the heart of bye weeks, so you're going to. But this is not a run game that's moving very well. I think the loss of Marshall Yanda on the offensive line has legitimately had a bigger impact than anyone ever realized. He was like he was there. He was a statue for them on the offensive line for years as a Pro Bowl guard. Losing him, clearly, like, nobody's running well on this team. You know, Mark Ingram, even with the carries he's gotten, he hasn't run well. Gus Edwards, 14 carries today for 26 yards. He's usually very, very efficient in terms of what he does on the ground. So I would imagine.
I mean, Eagles are a tough run defense.
They are, though. But Baltimore always imposed their will. They always ran on whoever they wanted to. They may not have the 6 yards per carry, but they would, you know, most of the time they'd average 4 yards per carry. But I'm saying on the season, this is a team that's not running the ball particularly well. And if Mark Ingram were to miss time, I think that they would just bring up Justice Hill back onto the active roster. And I think he'd play and they'd mix up the touches all over again. Dobbins would turn into the guy that I wanted an upside play because he is involved in the passing game, but it's a backfield that it doesn't look good right now.
All right. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson's knee looks fine. 9 for 108 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He does throw for 186 yards and a touchdown, which goes to Hollywood Brown. Six targets, four catches, 57 yards. We've disagreed a little bit on Brown in the past. How do you feel about him now? You had him 32nd coming in. Is he staying up, down, same?
Same.
Same, right?
Yeah. The same. I mean, he's getting the targets, he's getting the air yards, all that stuff, but overall, he's just been a disappointment. Like, he just never lives up to what everybody expects him to be. And to be fair, Lamar Jackson has not looked particularly good throwing the ball this year. He's definitely taken a step back. you know, it's good to see him getting more mobile. Maybe that'll force, you know, that's part of Lamar Jackson's game that he needs to have. I think he needs to have that confidence that he could do anything he wants. But throwing the ball, it's been a little up and down. And Marquise Brown, the production over his last, you know, probably like 16 games now, has been very, very mediocre at best. Like, if you were to look over the last 16 games and say, where does he rank among wide receivers? I'd be willing to bet he'd be outside the top 50. Maybe top 40, whatever, but he's not a guaranteed start every week, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I have him ranked as a starter most weeks, but again, one of these guys who sort of like the running back tier that we're talking about, I never feel good about it because I never feel like it's a guaranteed sort of floor of production.
It feels like you should want to start someone like T. Higgins over him, right? But would you do that?
I don't have it ranked that way, and I'm almost always having Brown higher.
Right.
And rest of season, I am as well. It just, there's something that doesn't feel right about it. He's not getting quite the targets that you really need or that I expected, because I did expect the Baltimore offense to kind of take a bigger step forward in that regard. So, yeah, he's in that wide receiver three territory for me going forward, and this game isn't moving the needle one way or the other. For the Eagles, I don't know how they're going to be able to field a team on Thursday. Miles Sanders, 118 yards on just 9 carries. He does drop a touchdown pass.
That was the sun.
Yeah, wear a visor, do something, all right? As somebody who rosters Carson Wentz in like a super flex league, I need those touchdowns, man. Anyway, but yeah, he gets knocked out with an ankle injury. Meanwhile, Zach Ertz sees 10 targets, just 4 catches for 33 yards, but he leaves with an ankle injury. One of them had a knee injury, one of them had an ankle injury. I don't remember which one. Meanwhile, Carson Wentz, no offensive line, isn't playing particularly well, nobody to throw the ball to, yet he still kind of produces for fantasy, generally speaking, 213 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. Plus, he rushes for 49 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He does lose a fumble. Meanwhile, still no Alshon Jeffrey in this game. No DeSean Jackson in this game, but Travis Fulgham remains. 10 targets, 6 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown. There are a lot of questions with the game Thursday. First, let's assume Miles Sanders is out. Are you starting Boston Scott against the Giants?
I mean, I think you can. He's a guy that would probably fall into that territory of someone like a Devonta Freeman, where you're expecting 12 to 16 touches. And yeah, I think you can.
Assuming DeSean Jackson comes back on Thursday, as has been rumored, and maybe Jeffrey, if he will ever come back. Otherwise, I will just continue to tell you to spend 15% of your fab budget on him. Are you starting Fulgham if both or either of those guys come back against the Giants?
I mean, Adam Kaplan went on SiriusXM radio this week and said that Travis Fulgham, it's his job, that he's playing the X receiver, and that's where Alshon Jeffrey typically plays. And to know that Alshon was inactive, maybe that has something to do with that he's not playing. That, like, hey, you're not even going to be out there, so might as well get yourself right. So that could be a portion of it. So as long as Alshon is out, I mean, I think it's time to sell on Fulgham, because again, you're eventually going to have DeSean Jackson back. You're going to have Jalen Reagor back. You're going to have Alshon Jeffrey back. So there's just too many guys. There's too many mouths to feed. And Travis Fulgham would have looked like a giant bust today if he didn't catch that late touchdown. So it's all part of the game though, and it counts. So I was too low on him this week, but I still use this as an opportunity to sell high on him. I have him ranked as my number 43 wide receiver on the rest of the season.
Okay. Assuming no Ertz, finally, and no Goddard next week, is Richard Rodgers someone you can start against the Giants?
No, I could never. I don't know if I could ever recommend starting Richard Rodgers. In reality, I'm going to go and look at their routes run and basically just trying to decide how to spread out the targets among this offense, because it's a mess right now. And again, this all comes back to Carson Wentz not being particularly efficient this year and being bad. Because if he's not good, I can't confidently start anybody in that lineup. That's the problem right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And I think part of the blame certainly falls on him. But I mean, he's also getting his butt kicked back there with that offensive line. Mm-hmm. So I agree. All right. Lions 34, Jaguars 16. We talked about DeAndre Swift already. Matthew Stafford, just 223 yards passing plus a touchdown, which goes to TJ Hockenson. But he totals only 17 yards. Kenny Galladay, 6 targets, 4 catches, and 105 yards. And Marvin Jones, the obligatory mention, 2 catches for 8 yards. I'm not really sure this game moves the needle in any way. Tags, Galladay still a solid wide receiver 2 at worst. Hockenson streamable in the right matchup, and Marvin Jones can be dropped.
He can be dropped. Yep. I was basically holding out any last bit of hope that I had for Marvin Jones, but this is dude.
I kept saying that I was I still rostered him on a team, and I was hoping that my hand was forced because of inactives to play him because I didn't want to miss out on the 4-touchdown crazy game. Yeah. Thankfully, it didn't, and I didn't miss out on it, and now I will just drop him and watch that happen while he's on free agent wire. For the Jaguars, James Robinson does save his day here with a receiving touchdown, but just 53 yards total on 16 touches. Gardner Minshew runs for a score in addition to the passing one to Robinson. But let's talk about the other two fantasy-relevant receivers here, tags, because we talked about Keelan Cole already. DJ Chark plays through the ankle injury. 14 targets. That's good. Just 7 catches for 45 yards. Not as good. Meanwhile, Laviska Shenault Jr., 7 targets, 3 catches, 10 yards, plus 1 carry for a yard. Are you moving either one of these guys down in your rest of season rankings?
No, I think you should buy DJ Chark right now. Those targets are encouraging. That means he's over the ankle injury, whatever it was. He may have been like a little bit hampered by it, but the fact that they built a game plan around him works well. I'm sure there's some people out there that are going to talk to me this week about dropping DJ Chark because he's not performing the way that they wanted him to. But I would trade for him right now. James Robinson, I'm a little worried about. Last week, so he's played like two of the worst run defenses in the league, in Houston and Detroit, and he's been terrible. I wonder if that's like some of that magic starting to wear off, you know, but do they ever have another running back come back to the offense? Maybe not.
Right.
So it kind of,
no, that's the thing.
Yeah. And it kind of just keeps him in that territory where you just keep starting him, because if he's getting 90% of the touches in the backfield, you have to start him, like, no matter what team. And then Laviska Shenault, I'm not too worried because, again, he has now seen at least 7 targets in 3 straight games. That's typically a sign of production. I think it was just a bad day overall for Gardner Minshew.
Yep, I think that's right. Just they looked out of sorts. Let's go to the Bears 23, Panthers 16. I feel like you are me like 10 years ago when I was watching the Jets with Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan and just being like, I don't know, this is a thoroughly mediocre team. I don't know why we keep winning and why we're inevitably going to go to the championship game. Disappointing day for everyone. Tags, we've already touched on Dave Montgomery. He did have the touchdown overturned, almost had an almost touchdown, 19 for 58 on the ground. He does add 39 through the air. So that's good. But I think he is what he is. He's a low upside, but pretty high floor, you know, given the touches running back that you'll have ranked as usually a relatively low end RB2 who's going to be there. Allen Robinson, 9 targets, 5 catches, 53 yards. Jimmy Graham, just 34 yards. I don't know, Tex, it's your team. Any takeaways from today or?
I don't know. The Bears are 5-1. I don't know. I mean,
just enjoy it, man.
I don't know if I can. I really don't. I think you just summarized it perfectly with the whole Jets, that Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan era. Yeah, I can't name something this team does extremely well outside of play defense. And that's the thing, is that I'm not going to get into it, but basically it comes down to Allen Robinson is the only one I'm excited to start most weeks. He has seen plenty of targets. He hasn't seen fewer than, I think, 9 targets all year. David Montgomery is just so boring. They can't run the ball. And Matt Nagy doesn't want to call it. The play calling's been atrocious, whatever. But no, Anthony Miller is droppable. Jimmy Graham is a touchdown or bust option. Even if he's getting 8 targets, doesn't matter. So yeah, it's just not a team that you want to have much association with in fantasy.
Yeah. And the lone passing touchdown does go to Cole Kmet, by the way, who is rostered in every Cole Kmet only fantasy league. So congratulations to you guys. Panthers, Mike Davis gets a little dinged up, but he does fight through it. 18 for 52 and a touchdown on the ground. Doesn't really get that involved in the air. You know, just 3 targets, 2 catches, 3 yards. Meanwhile, DJ Moore gets 11 targets. Nice to see the target bump there. 5 catches, 93 yards. Robbie Anderson doesn't get the targets, but does produce 5 targets, 4 catches, 77 yards. There's not much I took away from this game, Tags, on the Panthers side. What about you?
It was a tough matchup. Honestly, DJ Moore did better than I thought he would, and he almost actually kept this game alive on the final play. Well, their final offensive play. The ball was overthrown. He went up with one hand, snagged it in. Then when he hit the ground, it basically popped out. It was a better day than I thought for DJ Moore. I think I had him ranked 26th among wide receivers for this week. I didn't expect much from him or Anderson because the Bears have been really, really good against wide receivers. But both of them walk away with competent games. And I think that's all you can ask for in matchups like this. So, yeah, both of them are startable.
Yeah, they're startable every single week. Absolutely. Rest of season, I have them both ranked as wide receiver 2s. And so they just stay in my lineup pretty much regardless of the matchup. Steelers 38, Browns 7. Steelers did not need to do much in this game, but no Deontay Johnson here. Kind of surprising when it came out earlier in the week that he was going to miss this game after everything sounded like it was trending right. So without Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, 4 targets, 4 catches, 74 yards through the air, plus another rushing touchdown, Tags. James Washington did catch a touchdown in this game. Juju Smith-Schuster, 4 targets, 2 catches, 6 yards. I have a two-part question for you, Tags. Number one is WTF with Juju Smith-Schuster. Number two is, are you willing to now accept Claypool as a guy you can trust? So start with Juju.
Juju, I am so disappointed. I've moved him down. He's down as my wide receiver 29 now in rest of season rankings, and I might be too high, honestly, having him there. Because again, and I said this last week on the show, I said, at some point, if you're the team's number one receiver, perform like it. Get the targets like it. Anything. This is a matchup that he should have destroyed. The Browns have been crushed over the middle of the field. He did see four targets when Roethlisberger only threw the ball 22 times. So it's not like there was a whole lot of pass attempts to go around. But again, it's just, it's maddening. And to see him walk away with two catches for 6 yards. Meanwhile, Chase Claypool and James Washington are doing their thing, you know, being hyper efficient with their targets. Yeah, I am officially like, I'm on code red, whatever you want to call it, alert with Juju Smith-Schuster. And I don't even want to put him in starting lineups right now until I see something out of him.
Whatever the bad DEFCON is, I can never remember if it's 1 or 5. That's where I'm at. Yes, I'm there with Juju too. We had him 24th, both of us coming in, which was already a massive drop from where he was in the preseason. Both of us coming in. You have him 29th. I haven't done it yet, but I guarantee you that's basically where he's going to be because I am fully worried at this point right now. How about Claypool? Are you ready to trust him now, or are you still thinking now when Deontay Johnson comes back, he's going to have a hard time finding playing time above James Washington?
I moved Claypool up to 34, and I've been tempted to put him over Juju Smith-Schuster for the rest of the season rankings. This is one where he has basically, it's like a Justin Herbert situation. He has played too damn well to take him off the field. And you cannot put him back on the bench. You have to keep playing him. There is no way they put this guy back on the bench. I am moving forward with him as a starting receiver. Now, do I think the targets are going to be like all there all the time? He only had 4 targets in this game. Again, there were limited pass attempts, so we can't take too much away from that. He also had 2 carries. It's just a way to get the ball in his hands. The Steelers have proven that they're able to get the ball into his hands. So yes, he can be trusted as a wide receiver 3 with some massive upside, even when Deontay Johnson comes back. But again, there's a lot of options here. But again, once you get outside those top, you know, 10 receivers, top 15 receivers, there's going to be ups and downs in performances. We have to expect that. But Claypool, I mean, when he booms, he booms.
This is why, I mean, I said that I think I had it at 30% of my fab budget that I was willing to go after him because I, genie out of the bottle, to take your phrase, they're not going to just be able to say, nah, you know what? We've got James Washington. Everybody's healthy. We're not going to utilize Claypool. He's too talented. They know how to get the most out of him. So absolutely, I'm glad you came around. I feel very good about this. James Conner, 20 for 101 and a touchdown on the ground. He just gets it done. Let's go to the Browns here. Baker Mayfield gets benched here purportedly because of his injury. He did not play well. 10 for 18 for 119 yards and a touchdown with 2 interceptions. The touchdown goes to, unfortunately, Rashard Higgins. Your leading receiver in every aspect, targets, receptions, yards, is Austin Hooper. 6 targets, 5 catches, 52 yards. Landry, 3 for 40. Beckham, 2 for 25. It's just a bad day for the Browns offense against a really good defense.
Pretty much. Baker Mayfield was terrible. You know, they were missing one of their starting offensive linemen in this game. Baker Mayfield was coming off the rib injury. Odell Beckham didn't practice for a couple days because of an illness. It was like the stars aligned for just a crapshoot. And that's what happened, unfortunately, because the Steelers have been a secondary that's actually been giving up some fantasy points to wide receivers. So I wasn't all that worried about Beckham this week. I thought he'd be fine in a negative game script where they'd have to throw the ball a little bit more than the Browns typically do, and that Kareem Hunt wouldn't be able to run the ball against them. This all happened as I thought, but they just didn't take advantage when they did have the ball. So I'm a little torn on Beckham. I keep moving him down. I have him at wide receiver 19 for the remainder of the season. I could easily see a situation where I put him at like 23 or 24, but the talent, we've seen it flash at times, and it's just like, but this offense is just, it's not very good.
Yeah, I have him at 19th coming in. I don't think I'm going to move him down that much. A tough matchup, even though the Steelers did give up a ton of points to fantasy points to wide receivers. And very quickly, Austin Hooper here, nearly 25% of the targets the last 3 weeks. Is he in startable territory? He's every tight end, Tags. Is he every tight end basically in that range where you're like, okay.
You're getting more confidence because he's starting to become more and more involved, and they don't have that number 3 wide receiver. But again, when you have a team that throws the ball, you know, Baker had 18 attempts, Keenum 10, so 28 times. You're not going to like, that's not an offense you're going to attack with streaming tight ends. You typically want to see a lot more pass attempts out of the offense. You want to see a high scoring offense. You want to see a team that throws the ball in the red zone. The Browns are not going to do that very often with the way that Baker turns the ball over and with the running backs they have. So not excited about Hooper, but he's definitely on the streaming radar.
All right, let's finish up here with the last two games. Real exciting one here, barn burner, Dolphins 24, Jets 0. I don't know how much you can really take away from this game from the Dolphins side of the ball because the game was, they were never going to lose that game. So the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for only 191 yards, he does throw for three touchdowns. One goes to Preston Williams here, tags, who only has three targets, two catches, 18 yards. But with the touchdown, are you moving Preston Williams up your rest of season rankings?
He moved up a little bit last week. I'm not going to move him too much up this week because, again, the targets are still minimal. Devontae Parker is the number one receiver, even if the numbers don't say that this week. So it's been a really weird week, like the last 2 weeks, because like even Adam Shaheen has gotten touchdowns in both games. And it's like, what is happening here?
He's your leading receiver, by the way, for the Dolphins with 51 yards. It's just a weird week. Mike Gesicki, by the way, got zero. Are you concerned, or is this just what tight end is and you just move on?
I have advice for everyone listening, and take this to heart because it means everything. Okay. When I tell you that Mike Gesicki has a good matchup and should be a top six tight end, do not play him. Do not. If I tell you that Mike Gesicki is going to win a brutal matchup and he's not going to do well, play him.
Okay. Good to know, Fantasy Managers. Listen up. Meanwhile, Jordan Howard is inactive here again, and Miles Gaskin totals 22 touches for 126 yards. Where is he in your rest of season rankings now that Jordan Howard is just a perpetual inactive?
Yeah, he's moved up all the way to RB26 right now. It's like a high-end RB3. Could I see moving him ahead of guys like Devin Singletary and David Montgomery? I absolutely could. But the weird thing is like, if Miami was happy with Miles Gaskin, why were they shopping for Leonard Fournette or for Le'Veon Bell? Like, that's the part that rubs me the wrong way, is because like it was clear that they were one of the teams that was interested in signing him. And it's like, Miles Gaskin's been doing everything you've been asking him to do. You have Jordan Howard, who you signed in free agency for too much money. You have Matt Breida, who you traded for. And it's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. Well, thankfully they didn't sign him. And since he really is the only game in town, I'm fully on board with this. I have no hesitation whatsoever with Gaskin. He's 23rd in my running back rankings going forward. Nice. He might even creep up a little bit more. That was coming into the week. So I feel really good about him. And again, he factors into the passing game, which offers him a nice floor regardless of the matchup. For the Jets, everything is awful. Jameson Crowder, 13 targets. That's good, but only 7 catches for 48 yards. Frank Gore rushes for 46 yards. P. Ryan 7 for 27. Just, I don't know, tags. You roster Jameson Crowder and you don't roster anybody else. Is that right? Is that where we are now?
That's correct. I also tuned out because CBS, so the games are always on in the background, and basically we're recording this, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off is on CBS right now.
Well, what do you want, Dave?
I don't think anybody would blame me for watching that rather than talk about the Jets.
No. Let's just move on then. Let's finish up here with our final game. Bucks 38, Packers 10. Brady looks pretty good in this game, only 166 yards, but he didn't need to do that much. Two touchdowns. One to Gronk. I don't know why we're talking about tight end so much, but I watched that game and Gronk looked good, like actually good. And he has looked terrible. I thought he's looked like he's walking through quicksand. 8 targets, 5 catches, 78 yards and a touchdown. Your leading receiver. Is he now somebody who's back on the tight end one radar?
I actually thought Gronk looked good a couple weeks ago. There was the first few weeks where he looked bad. And then there was a week in there. I can't remember who the game was against, but I thought he looked better. And I was like, all right, I'm going to come around to this. And then OJ Howard went down. And it's like, okay, this Gronk thing is actually happening. So I do think it's a legitimate thing, like moving forward. Brady only threw the ball 27 times. To see Gronk gets 8 of those targets, you know, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are going to get so much attention that Gronk is like an afterthought for a lot of defenses right now. And if Gronk is even 75% of the player that he used to be, this is a crazy mismatch for a lot of linebackers and safeties. So, yeah, I do think it's legit. And I think that you should pay attention to Rob Gronkowski as a potential tight end one.
And are you concerned here about Mike Evans? Because, you know, we talked about nobody really did too much in this game. Brady didn't throw that much. But Godwin did see 7 targets, caught 5 of them for 48 yards. Mike Evans, just 2 targets, 1 catch, 10 yards. Are you concerned about Mike Evans?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I was low on him coming in. I think I had him as wide receiver 17. A lot of people would tell me that I was dumb and I had him too low. But touchdowns have been carrying his fantasy points for a long time now. And it's like, if he doesn't score, he's going to really let you down. And now that Godwin's back, the target totals are just coming down even more. If Gronk starts taking a step forward, like those target totals, Ronald Jones is running the ball extremely well to the point where Brady doesn't have to throw the ball a whole lot. So I am worried about Evans. And for now, you kind of have to treat him as a middling to low end wide receiver 2 who needs a touchdown. He's touchdown heavy. And fortunately, Mike Evans is really good at scoring touchdowns. But outside of that, he's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, that's true. And you mentioned Jones, 23 for 113 and 2 touchdowns on the ground, plus he catches 2 passes for 8 yards. Are you buying high here on Ronald Jones, or is there still that lingering doubt because Leonard Fournette was inactive again?
I am buying Ronald Jones right now. I mean, I know there's some people out there who are going to be asking if they have him on their roster. Is this when you sell high? Do you sell high on Ronald Jones because you don't want to risk him fumbling the job away and blah, blah. He has been so good. That leash has been lengthened. Like, he is playing fantastic right now. He's getting downhill. He's not messing around. He's bouncing off tacklers. Like, he's doing everything that a coach could ever want him to do. Is he great in the passing game? No, but is he competent? Yeah. Leonard Fournette was not great in the passing game last year. He caught a lot of balls. Whoop-de friggin' do. It wasn't very efficient on him. So I am actually buying Ronald Jones, and I'm struggling with how high to put him up right now because I want to put him at like RB 18. I have him at 19, and it's like I'm toying with the idea of moving him ahead of David Johnson. And I think I should.
Yeah, I think so too. We had him right there. You had him 25th. I had him 24th coming in. But yeah, he's flying up. And I think so too. Because I think if you literally have both those guys on your roster, most times you're going to be starting Jones. So I think he's got to go above him. Finally, the Packers. Just a terrible game for the Packers. Rodgers finally throws an interception. He was under duress all day. Just 160 yards passing. The only touchdown goes to Aaron Jones on the ground, who totaled 15 yards on his 10 carries. He did have 3 catches for 26 yards. Davante Adams, 10 targets, 6 catches, 61 yards. Just a terrible game for the Packers, and you write it off, or is there anything to be concerned about?
Terrible game. I mean, you have to write it off. I mean, as just like a hiccup, but I mean, coming off their bye week and looking like that flat against a Tampa team that didn't have Vita Vea, their superstar defensive tackle, like he's out for the year now. So I figured that Green Bay was actually going to win this game. That's actually one of the picks I made. They were -1 this week. But, I mean, obviously, the way that this works, Dan, we talked about this before the show, is that the Bears beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay beat Packers. So, therefore, the Bears are better than the Packers.
The transitive property of football records. That's how it works.
This is where I tell you, no, they're not.
Okay. Well, we're going to end on that because that's a fantastic day. Plus, we've got the Sunday Night Football to get to. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Check out all our live streams. Follow us on Instagram @fantasypros. Follow us on Twitter @fantasypros. Thanks also to our sponsors, Pristine Auction. You know the drill. Thousands of auctions. Incredible prices. Just go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Thanks also to Superdraft. Try their exclusive multiplier game mode. Build your dream team. Get a first-time deposit bonus. Download it in the App Store or play at superdraft.io with the promo code FANTASYBROS. We'll be back tomorrow doing our waiver wire show, and I will talk to you then.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.